All right, saints, I want you to turn into your order of service. You'll see a lavender insert that says sermon notes. Amen. Today is our back to school service. Hallelujah. So the reality is, it's back to school time. Woo! Oh! Some say, oh. So you'll see your sermon notes there. And our theme is back to school, giving it our best. There was a father who was examining his son's report card, and he said, "Well, one thing, son, I can definitely say in your favor. With this report card, you couldn't possibly be cheating." All right. There was a girl student speaking to a fellow student, and she said, "Too bad you flunked the test. How far were you from the right answers?" And he said, "Oh, actually about one row and two seats." Oh, a librarian said to a third grader who was talking loud in the library, "Please be quiet. You see, the students over there can't read." And the third grader said, "What a shame. I've been reading since I was six." And a little Mary, just home from her first day at school, was asked by her mom, "Honey, did you learn much today?" "Not much," Mary replied, "because I gotta go back tomorrow." Back tomorrow, back to school, back to life, back to reality. Oh, amen. Now, these words might not sound that exciting, but reality is something we all have to face, amen? Whether it's school, whether it's work, whether it's other people, or whatever it is, reality we must face. So on this Back to School Acknowledgement Sunday, I want to share some thoughts that will help students in school, and I think will help all of us in life, amen, if we in fact apply these words of God to our lives, amen. But before we begin, let's just join our hearts, saints, in prayer. Oh, awesome and holy God, we say thank you today. Oh, we praise you. You are so worthy. And we ask, oh God, that you would help us to learn your truth with joy. Open our hearts, Holy Spirit, that we may receive your word. Help us to love and to obey your truth. And, oh God, as we actively listen to the preaching of your word, teach us, Lord Jesus, instruct us that we may learn from you. Oh, Lord, it is our desire to follow the road that you have set out for us, to be able to love you, to serve you with everything we have in us. And we give you praise ahead of time in the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's saints said, amen, amen. All right, summer is over for most of us. Okay, all right. It's back to school time, amen. And I want all the students and parents and grandparents and teachers and principals and counselors and school staff to shout out, "Bring it on!" Amen. Bring it on. Bring it on. Through Christ, we can handle it. Through Christ, we can handle it. Amen. Praise your name. Now, the phrase "bring it on," saints, it's really popular among the young generation. And "bring it on" is a call to meet a challenge with everything you have. When you say "bring it on," all right, come on. I'm ready for the challenge. All right. Amen. Amen. And as Christian students and parents and teachers and staff, we got to resolve right now to have a bring it on spirit. All right. So I want you to say it one more time like you mean it, like you got a bring it on spirit. All right. Ready? Bring it on. All right. Through Christ, we can handle this. Amen. All right, saints, through Christ, we can handle it. Now, our Old Testament text that Joseph read for us, Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12, the whole text, it focuses on Moses giving instruction to Israel about the challenges that lay ahead. And the book of Deuteronomy, which means the second look, it means the second look, was written at the close of Moses' life. And Moses gave advice to Israel to direct them through the remainder of their journey through the promised land. And Moses also gave them warnings about challenges that would lie ahead. So saints, let's turn to God's word. It's printed in our sermon note sheet for wisdom to guide us. Together, let's read Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to God, to love God, and serve the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul. Amen. Bring it on. Bring it on. Amen, Jerry. Well, just as Moses spoke to the young generation in this text, God's message, saints, is the same to our young generation today. Amen. And Moses is saying, you will face many challenges in your life, young people, as you mature. As you face each one, don't half step. Bring it on. All right. So would you turn to your neighbor near you and just say, neighbor, don't half step. Don't half step. Bring it on. All right. Bring it on. Amen. So let's start this morning with our students. All right. Now, students, what is the first point in our message today? Bring it on what? In your education. All right. Your generation, young people, more than any other, must be prepared to face the educational challenges ahead. Now, the youth who heard Moses speak were about to face new challenges that they had never experienced. They would be forced to till the land for the first time, and they were going to have to make their own clothing and develop weapons and to build houses for the first time. It was all brand new to them. Yet Moses said, approach the challenge with everything you have within you. Bring it on. Amen. So let me ask a question here to all of us today, and I want us to be honest. Have you ever found yourself doing less than your best? All right. I didn't have to think about that too long. Amen. Both youth and adults alike, we find that there are many areas in our lives which we have approached half-heartedly. And those are the times when we do less than our best. As children, our parents have tried to teach us to do our best, but those lessons are hard to learn. Our mom asked us to sweep the floor, and so we got the broom, and we swept right in the middle of the floor. We didn't move any chairs. We didn't go in the corners where the little dust balls were. We just swept a little bit in the floor and said, I'm done. Amen. Was it our best? Probably not. No. Amen. Under the rug. All right. Some of us did that. Ooh, Jerry. Yes, we did. And then we were asked to wash the dishes. And there we are washing. And we know when the water got greasy, we need to let the water down and put some fresh in to finish the job. But we did. We said, I'm going to go ahead and use this greasy water. I'm not going to take the time and do it right. All right. So it would have meant doing less than our best. Our dad asked us to go out and mow the grass, but we went out there and we missed all kind of areas. And so there were patches and holes and scratchy places all over. We said, I'm done. But was it our best? No. We were asked to go out and wash the car, and we washed some spots that was easy to get to, but we didn't want to, you know, get to those harder spots. And so the car even looked spotty. All right. Untouched spots on the car. Was it our best? No. Saints, you know, we can make a practice of giving less than our best. I can remember as a teenager, my mother asked me to make the salad for dinner. And so I had started, and I really didn't feel like it at all. So I was chopping up the carrots and just, so she came over. She says, you know what? Anything you do, you need to do it with love and with your best effort. And she says, looking at that salad, that is one unloved salad. And she said, and I don't plan on eating any of that salad. Because I had big pieces. I mean, if you was going to eat those carrots, you was going to have to chew a long time. And just had thrown it together. I had did less than my best. But most of us have memories of periods in our lives when literally we were lost in space. Okay, anybody here been lost in space beside me? Okay, all right. All right. We move from one experience to the next with little knowledge of where we were going or what we were doing. But one day, praise God, we woke up. Somebody say, woke up. We woke up to the reality that we must assume our rightful role in the grand scheme of things. And that is the point that where we say in our mind, it's time for me to get it together. It's time for me to start taking care of business. All right. Taking care of business, saints, means assuming responsibility and doing that which is necessary and right. Now, saints, students, for you, that means grade school, middle school, high school. You cannot wait until you get into the 12th grade before you decide, oh, I'm going to really work hard. I'm going to start doing my best and living up to my potential. Because when you wait till the 12th grade, even the 11th grade or 10th, when you wait that long, guess what? You're not going to be eligible for those scholarships and for those advanced degrees. You have to start now. I want you to touch your neighbor and say, neighbor, it starts now. It starts now. Taking care of business starts now. Hallelujah. Now, students, just reading what your teacher has assigned and no more, never doing a little extra, just only what is required, actually, that's half-stepping, all right? Just trying to earn a grade enough to pass the test, not to do well, just enough to pass the test, or just do enough to pass the grade, you know what? That's half-stepping, all right? Now, I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, no half-stepping. No half-stepping! Students, if your generation is going to tackle the challenge of education, if you're going to go out into that world and compete, you got to right now bring it on. You got to give it everything you have. Hallelujah. All right, students, that leads us to our second point. What is it, students? Students, looking at your sermon note sheet, what is it? Bring it on in what? In your expectations. Hallelujah. Your generation should set high standards for yourselves. Amen. And to give your best effort. Now, looking at our sermon note sheet, I want all you young people to show me your sermon note sheet right now. All of you. Because you all are playing and having a wonderful time. Get your sermon note sheet. You are going to read to me today. You're going to pay attention. This is for you today. All right. Now, in our sermon note sheet, what does giving your best effort mean? Young people, it is the meaning of that phrase in verse 12. Let's read it together, everyone. And to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul. Amen. And the Living Bible says, and to love God and to worship God with all your heart and soul. The Century Version says, love God, serve the Lord your God with your whole being. And the Message translates it this way, love God and serve God, your God, with everything you have in you. Amen. Everybody say everything. Everything. Hallelujah. Now, young people, God doesn't expect for you to get A's all the time. Amen. But God expects us to bring it on. Bring it on, students. Give everything that you have. Whether you are in an athletic competition, whether you are in a spelling bee, whether you are in a speech, giving a speech in assembly, God expects you to give and to do your best, to bring it on. And when you do, God is pleased. Amen. And God will take care of the rest. Now, I was so excited to hear this week on the news. A research came out last week out of Iowa University, and I already knew it, I already knew this, that students who go to church, they have a 65% higher grade average than those who do not go to church. They actually were able to prove it in their research. Hallelujah. I already knew that. Amen. Those who go to church have a higher grade average than those who do not. So attending church is very important. So saints, don't be lazy students. Set high standards for yourselves and expect to exceed. Hallelujah. Now going back to our text, each child in this text today was born in the wilderness. And they were clearly expected to make it to the promised land. And Moses told the young to prepare for the promised land and to expect to get there. And two young men, they slipped over into Canaan and they took a peek into the future. And after seeing the promised land, they never doubted that one day they would live in that land, hallelujah, in their future. So students, that should be your resolve today. Amen. Right now, I want to ask each of you young people who received a pair of glasses when you entered into the sanctuary. Everybody get your glasses up. Okay, each of you, put your glasses on. Amen. Each of you, put your glasses on. All right, put your glasses on. Put them on. Ushers, if they need glasses, I want them to bring some more glasses for me, Debbie. If they don't have it, I want them to have their glasses on. All right. Now, I want you all to keep these glasses and put them on your dresser because they're going to symbolize your peeking into your future. Just like Moses told them to look into the promised land there, all right? You yourselves must look into the promised land. These are visionary glasses. All right, put them on. Amen. These are visionary glasses. Very good. Thank you, Michelle. Very good. All right, you must begin to see yourselves in the future. I want you to peer through these visionary glasses. You must see yourselves as successful young men and successful young women. Amen. Vision yourselves as professionals. Vision yourselves in the callings and in the occupations that you are going to choose. Vision yourself as successful doing those things. Now, I want to see who will be bold enough to say, as you peer into your future, if you peek into the promised land, who do you see yourself as being? What do you see yourself as doing? Anybody brave enough to share that with us today? Anybody? Can you? Well, you know what? You'll never become a doctor if you can't see yourself as a doctor. All right? You will never be a lawyer if you can't see yourself in the courtroom. All right? And you'll never see yourself running a business if you can't just see it in the future that you have a staff under you whom you are guiding to success. All right, Whitney, you raised your hand. Could you see something in the future? Put your glasses back on. Could you see something, Whitney? What did you see? You didn't see yourself doing anything? You said a doctor? Okay, very good. Thank you, Whitney. All right, very good. You know, Reverend Jesse Jackson, he had that right. He said, first your mind must conceive it, then your heart must believe it, amen, before you can achieve it, hallelujah. So you have to dream big. Dream big, hallelujah. For you see, food assistance is nice for an emergency. But you, young people, want to have the ability to go and buy yourself a 16-ounce steak when you want it. With A1 sauce, amen, if that's what you want. You want the ability to go and buy yourself a house and live where you want to live. And own the car that you drive, amen. Hallelujah. Young people, you must expect. You must expect great things. And you must believe God's word. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, but it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered to the hearts of God's people the things that God has prepared for those that love him. Hallelujah. Perhaps there is a future president of the United States right in this sanctuary right now. Hallelujah! Wasn't this an exciting past week for us? Wasn't it a grand week? Oh, It was such a grand week for us. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. But we may have a president sitting in our midst right now, or a vice president, or a missionary. We've got it right here, praise God. Oh, young people, if you could just say, I believe I can fly. I believe that I can touch the sky, hallelujah. I believe I can soar. Can't you see me running through that open door? But you've got to see yourself running through it first, hallelujah. So keep your visionary glasses, and may they be a reminder for you to continue to look and peek into your promised land, amen, that God has for you. Trust God, young people. Set high goals for yourself. Strive for what is best, and bring it on, amen. All right, well, the next thing, young people, that you must do in bringing it on is what? Look at your sermon note. What does it say? Pay attention. All right. You all may now take your glasses off because I want to see your eyes at the moment. Amen. Pay attention. Proverbs 1:8-9 says, my child, obey the teachings of your parent and wear their teachings as you would a lovely or pretty necklace. Pay attention to your parents. Pay attention to your teachers. Pay attention to all of the people in authority. A young boy said to his father, Dad, the principal said for me to invite you to a small meeting at the school. Well, how small is the meeting, son? Well, his son replied, it's you, me, and the principal. Small meeting. Young people, if you don't pay attention in school, you could find yourself in a small meeting like that one, okay? All right. Now, if some of you are hearing said to you often, pay attention to what you're doing. Pay attention to what you're doing. Pay attention. Then perhaps you may have a problem with paying attention, okay? So I want you to tell your neighbor, it always pays to pay attention in life. It always pays to pay attention in life. Amen. Not paying attention can get anyone into trouble, regardless of what they are doing. So young people, it pays to pay attention to what you are doing. 1 Peter 2:13 says, the Lord wants you to obey all human authorities. Well, now in the first grade, my first grade teacher, her name was Miss Carnegie. And she was ready to retire. In fact, she did retire after the year of my class went to the second grade. She was pretty stern. Well, but anyhow, she caught me not paying attention one day. I was coloring. I did not hear her say, put the crayons up. And then the next thing I know is I'm coloring so prettily, a ruler gets cracked over the top of my head. And I was like, whoa. I was just so shocked. I didn't see her coming. I did not see her coming. And you know what? I paid the penalty for not paying attention to Miss Carnegie, all right? Paying attention to all those in authority in life will pay you dividends. You will be blessed. Hallelujah. You will be blessed if you pay attention to what mom, dad, your teacher, your principal, your pastors, the police officers, your boss, the librarian, whoever. You will be blessed for paying attention. When you don't pay attention, you may find yourself in trouble, all right? You're asking for trouble. You're also asking for trouble when you allow yourself to have an attitude problem. Everybody say an attitude problem. Students, there is a danger in getting an attitude. Now, there are some of you, even here today, who have an attitude problem about life that is dangerously affecting your potential for success. Now, some of you, unfortunately, have assumed bad attitudes. At home, when your parents ask you to do this or that. At church, when we ask you, would you pick up, would you help around? At school and your aims in life, your attitudes often reflect out of your words and your behavior. So young people, now this lip smacking, head jerking, eye rolling, you keep it up, you're gonna be crazy, actually, because you just can't keep doing that and not go crazy. But young people, students who are unwilling to participate as a team effort in your homes with your family by sharing and doing your part of the household responsibility, you have developed an attitude of selfishness, all right? Now, selfishness simply means if it's not something that I can gain from it, I won't do it. However, the Christian attitude is, everybody say Christian attitude. Christian attitude, it encourages unselfishness to the point of assuming a role or responsibility, even areas that may not be of interest to you personally, but you want to be unselfish and a blessing to others. And at school, some have copped an attitude of rebellion in the classroom. And such students, and I'm at the schools, and I see talking back to the teacher, causing disturbances, causing fights and running to fights and cracking jokes in the middle of class time and doing other things that disrupt the learning process. These students have selected a course in life that is eventually doomed to failure. Now, already, the principal's office over there at Glenville has been filled each day with students who have come to school not dressed in their dress code. Now, they knew all summer that they had a dress code. Our CEO, Superintendent Eugene Sanders, said, Cleveland will have a dress code. And yet, there are students filling the office because they don't have on the dress code. And what's even more disturbing, our principal, she has extra shirts and clothing in the office. There are students this week who said, I ain't wearing that shirt. I ain't wearing that. And they got sent home when they could have stayed at school and just put on one of the coach shirts in the office. But they don't want to be in that shirt. They're headed for failure. But you, Christian youth, you are to be different. Now look at each other right now and say, we are to be different. We are to be different. Amen. Your attitude is that since you know your principals, your teachers, your librarians, your counselors, they're trying to help you succeed, that rules are necessary. They're necessary for order and for respect. And respect is due those who have rule over you. Amen. And with regards to the faith and attitudes, all right. Now, we as your pastors, we have observed that there are some of you who have assumed the attitude of tolerance rather than acceptance and embrace. When it comes to church, we see this attitude of tolerance. Your arms are crossed and you come to church and you're not praising God. It's like you're coming because it's a requirement. You can't go to the movie Sunday night or something if you don't come Sunday morning. And you try to dodge other church activities that you possibly can. And if you're not up front leading, then you don't want anything to do with it. But you know what? It reflects a mindset that believes that success in life can be obtained by, okay, acknowledging that, yes, there is a God, but worshiping and praising and praying and Bible study and offering your time and your energy, they're not necessary components of your life. Well, saints, you assume an attitude of tolerance, looking at your watch, looking at the clock all the time, just biding your time until one day I don't have to be here. Well, saints, the Christian student, the Christian young person, the one who has accepted Jesus Christ and loves the Lord as Lord and Savior, has learned that belief in God is just the beginning. Knowing more about God's Word, coming and growing, coming and praising God, coming and using your gifts, coming in a good attitude, ready to serve and to be a blessing. Those two are essential parts of our salvation, of walking the walk. and giving our best. Young people, competent attitude leads to a destructive end, period. Just all through the Bible, I'm only going to just share Cain and Abel. They both started out with positive attitudes toward God and toward each other. And when Cain found that Abel's sacrifice was more acceptable to God than his own, he copped an attitude of jealousy, and he killed his brother. Copping an attitude can destroy all of the good that God intends for you. Bad attitudes have made honor roll students, I'm talking about students that are smart with high IQs, turn into failing grades, failing students. You need to check your attitude. What is your attitude about life? Your attitude, young people, it represents the state of your mind, your behavior, and your purpose in life. The positive attitude responds to every situation in life. Well, praise God, this is going to work somehow for my good because I know God's got my back. Hallelujah. When teachers may seem to be hard, the positive student just says, well, this is going to work out for my good. When your parents seem to be unusually rigid with some unbending rules, the positive student says, this is going to work out for my good because I know God's got my back. God's going to work everything out for my good. So bring it on, young people. Bring it on. Hallelujah. Now looking at our next point, don't give in to what? Peer pressure. What does that mean? It means you be smart. Just because everybody else is doing something, it don't make it right. Think before you do something, because wrong choices can lead to very difficult times in your life, and it can lead even to failure. It means that you young students, don't follow the crowd. Dress appropriately. Don't have your skirts way up here where you can't even bend down and we can see what color underwear you got on. Pull your pants up. Dress appropriately. Talk appropriately. Recognizing that you are the only Bible that some of your friends will ever see. Hallelujah. Now, peer pressure, you know, you've got to just set your sails forward and you say, I'm headed towards success. When the winds of peer pressure are blowing against you, you know what? You just blow in the other direction and you keep your sail towards success. Hallelujah. Paul told the Christians to remember that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Hallelujah. So when the classmates at school are acting a fool, we want you young people to say in your mind, yes, the wind is blowing wrong, but I'm a sailing right. Hallelujah. Because I believe that I can fly. I can spread my wings and I am going to touch the sky. I'm on my way. When challenged to use foul language, when you see others stealing, when you see others trying to get you to do drugs or to have sex and behave in any kind of unchristian-like way, say in your mind, the winds may be blowing wrong, but I'm a sailing right. Hallelujah. I'm flying because I am going to touch the sky. I am on my way. I've decided to follow Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, young people, look at that last point. I want you to read that aloud together. We bring it on by what? Making Christ the Lord of your life. Amen. 1 Peter 3:15 says, honor Christ and let him be the Lord of your life. Hallelujah. Young people, allow God's light to shine brightly through you. And as it shines, others will see it and you will give glory to God. So I want to say to you, get your shine on. Hallelujah. I want everybody to turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, get your shine on, neighbor. Get your shine on. Get your shine on. Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew 5:14-15, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men or women light a candle and put it under a bushel. But on a candlestick, and it gives light into all that are in the house. You see, even when life gets tough, And life does get tough, okay? When life gets tough at school, and other students and teachers, they seem to be getting on your last nerve, young students. It's shining time. Woo! It's shining time. It's time to get your shine on. Hallelujah. Young believers, young students, let your light shine. Amen. No wonder the songwriter says, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Everywhere I go, I'm going to let it shine. So get your shine on, amen, and keep it on, young students. At this time, I don't know if Chris made it this. I'm going to just go on and ask the parents. Parents, I just have a short word for you today, our wonderful parents. Did all the parents receive the gift when you came in the door? All parents should have a gift here. And this gift, it is it's a parent blessing, and we're asking you to, like, hang it up on the refrigerator somewhere where you can read it. It's a blessing for your children and for you as a family. And I want you to put a picture of your children. You can fill the whole, surround the page with pictures of your children, and pray this throughout the school year. We appreciate you, parents, and we honor you today. You feed your children, you clothe them, and you... Even much more important in the practical side, you feed them God's word, and you clothe them with prayers, and you honor them in a spiritual home, a God-honoring home. And I want to say to you parents today, we only get our kids for a short time because they grow up so fast, and then they are gone. And so while you still have them in your home, I want to encourage you today to listen to them, to be good listeners to your children. Listen to what it is they're saying, to hug them every day, and to love them and to encourage them and talk to them. Never stop talking. You might say, oh, I just keep telling the same thing. That's good. Keep, when you're saying the same thing, keep talking, because they are listening. How many of us here today said, my mom always said, you know, she said, don't go out with holy underwear. You might get hit by a car or something. You know, we all had, my dad always told me, you know, don't wear your skirt so short because then you become a bum magnet. Or we remember all of these things, you know, and so we might get tired of saying it, but keep talking to your children. They are listening and they will remember what you are saying to them. And share with them from your heart. Share with them from your life. Strengthen your children. Encourage your children. Compliment your children. Tell your children how beautiful they are. It's okay, Dad, to tell your daughters, oh, you are a beautiful young lady. You got a cute shape, too. Go ahead, Dad, tell her that. So the first time a boy tells her that, she don't fall apart. She don't have to. She already heard it from you. She knows she got pretty legs. That ain't nothing. She already knew that, all right? She already knows what it feels like to be hugged by a man, because her dad has already been doing that. Hug them. Tell them they're beautiful. Tell them that they have gifts and you're so proud of them. Affirm them, parents, in Jesus. And we, your church, are praying for you, parents. We appreciate and we honor you today. Your children are targets of Satan. And from the day that you gave birth to them, Satan was trying to ruin their lives. And they need to be prayed for. And that's one of our chief responsibilities, parents, is to pray for our children. Pray every day. Pray, 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 and never stop praying. Hallelujah. It's something how that job never ends until we leave this earth. We must continue to pray for our children. Hallelujah. Pray, pray, pray. And so this is the parents' blessings for you parents, to help you just remember each day, pray and never stop praying. Now for our teachers today, we honor you, teachers and principals and counselors and librarians and all school staff, we honor you today. Secretaries, those who work in the cafeteria, we honor you today. And we confess that we haven't been as grateful as we should be for you all to really give you the support and the honor that is so due you. You are on the front line in our children's lives and in their future. And so we appreciate you today. We want you to know you are appreciated for your faithful service. It's priceless. And so, saints, what I want to say to all of us this year, let's try to make it a point to continually thank our teachers and school staff, to show them our appreciation, because there is not an easy job that they have. So tell them whenever you have the opportunity, thank you for all that you are doing in the lives of our children. Send them a card sometime through the year. Have a party in their honor, or give them a gift, a token of appreciation. So teachers, we want you to know that we love you and we bless you today, and that we ask God to help you as you lead and as you model for and as you guide our children. That God would fill you full of understanding of your students' levels of understanding and maturity and interest. And that you will instruct them well. And that you would help them with their inquiring minds and their discerning hearts. We bless you today, teachers. And does everyone have a gift that we have for the teachers? Everyone have one? Those are keychains. Hallelujah. And all of the gifts have on them that God's strong. They all say God's strong. Now, young people, we have that gift for you. And you see that ring that is on yours, young people? That is an accountability ring. And we're going to ask you to wear that ring whenever possible. Put that accountability ring on, because it's just a reminder that you are to be strong in the Lord and that there is a way that God asks for you to live. And if it's possible, parents, ask to see this and maybe have a little ceremony at home where you parents put that ring on your children's finger. Amen. So they will go to school being mindful that the Lord is with them and they are to be strong in the Lord, letting God's light shine. I'm going to ask our teachers, if you would stand first, our teachers, our school staff, our principals, our librarians, our counselors, if you would stand now. Praise God. Praise God. Can we give the Lord a praise offering for these saints? Hallelujah. We praise God for you today. We ask that you hang this up somewhere just to be encouraged through the year. Amen. Hang it up. And know that we, your church, appreciate you and we love you today. And we are praying for you. Now, in addition, please remain standing with all parents, grandparents, those who are aunties and uncles, those who are help raising students and children. Parents, would you please stand? And saints, let's give these parents a praise offering. Thank you, Lord, for these parents, these grandparents who work so hard. And they are shaping the lives. They are leading and guiding. They are teaching. And we honor you today. And we say thank God for you today. Thank you, Glenn. And please remain standing as our students now rise. Students, would you please rise? Praise God. We praise God for you today. We praise God for you today, students. We praise God and we thank God. And you thank God for the chance of another school year. Thank God for that. And we ask God to bless you, students. Let your light shine. Get your shine on. Say, bring it on. I'm ready to meet the challenge of this school year through the help of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's join our hearts, and I'm going to just pray a blessing upon each and all of us this day. Oh, great and gracious God, we give you thanks for all you have given us. And we bless you for creating us and filling us, each of us, with good things. Thank you for giving us your son, Jesus, to show us the way. Oh, bless these teachers, parents, students, as they begin this new school year. Help them, Lord, in all that they do, to appreciate the goodness in themselves and to look for the good in those around them. Help them to live their faith and love you by loving those around them. Help them to see your presence always. May they turn to you in good times and turn to you in bad times, knowing that you are their strength, their help, their joy. And as they grow on the outside, may they be growing on the inside too, in knowledge and in love for you and others. Oh, let your Holy Spirit give them the gifts of wisdom, understanding, knowledge, to help them learn the things that you need them to know. We thank you for this 2008-2009 school year, and we ask that you would bless each teacher, each principal, each counselor, each school staff, each parent, each student. And we pray that you will guide us all in all ways, and that we all will seek your will in everything that we do. And we ask this in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. And all God's saints join together to say, amen and amen. Please remain standing, saints, as we open the doors of the church. And we're going to sing, In My Life, Be Glorified. I ask that you make this your prayer today. Be glorified, Lord, in my home.